Good evening, everybody. So last week we spent some time, Parshas Ekev, we spent some time talking about some of the inyanim of tefillah, tzibur, making breakaway minyanim, a lot of different aspects that we find coming up to tefillah. So there is something that I spoke about a couple of weeks ago in Pirkei Avos. We've gotten a lot of requests from people in the shul to repeat. So it is directly related to tefillah, and the reason why I spoke about it a few weeks ago was because of the following reason. There is a lot of political conversation now about what's going on in Eretz Yisrael, and it's not for us to decide who's right and who's wrong. It's for people a lot greater and a lot more involved than ourselves. However, there is somebody in this shul who continues to heckle both myself and Rabbi Feiner, being very upset about why our shul still recites the tefillah for Medinas Yisrael. I'm here to explain why I feel this is an important thing to do. And I spoke this over with Rabbi Feiner at the time when I said it. I think he couldn't agree more. And we're just going to reiterate what is obvious to, I hope, anyone who's thinking properly. So here is the following idea. The Mishnah says in Pirkei Avos, Paragimel, Mishnah Beis, Reb Chanina Skana Kohanim says, Havim Mispalel B'Shlomo Shal Malchus. Reb Chanina Skana Kohanim tells us, he is one of the Heilige Tanoim who's quoted in the Mishnah in Pirkei Avos, he tells us the following din. Havim Mispalel B'Shlomo Shal Malchus, a person should be Mispalel for the Shlomo Shal Malchus, She'il Male Morah, because if not for the fact that we had some reverence for the government, Ish Esreyehu Chayim below. The Mishnah tells us everybody would eat each other up alive. There would be no society that would actually be functioning. If we didn't have a government in place, we wouldn't have a society that functioned normally. So therefore, everybody has to be mispalel for their malchus. That's what Rav Chanina Skana Kohanim tells us. The Tosfos Yontif over there explains that the Mishnah, if you look carefully, it doesn't say havim mispalel b'shlomo shel hamelech. It says b'shlomo shel hamalchus, that we should daven for the whole institution of the government, not for the well-being of the king himself, because it's important that we have a functioning government with all the officers that are necessary for that, and all the people who are involved in such a government. This is an important thing to do. That's what the Tosfos Yontif points out. The Rishonim over there write that this does not apply. The Mishnah is not directly speaking to a Jewish government. The Mishnah is also addressing Malchei Umas Ha'olam. If a person lives in a country where they have a non-Jewish government, that is also nichlal in what the Mishnah is saying here. Have a mispalel b'shlomo shel malchus, because as we know, this is something that's important for all of us to function normally. If, let's say, we didn't have a police force that stopped people from stealing, so look what happens. Whenever there's no alarms, right? Whenever there's a blackout, everyone goes looting. Whenever there's some sort of tragedy and nobody's on the lookout because the police are doing something else, everybody goes crazy. So you see what happens. This is why we have to be mispalel for the Malchus. That's what the Rishonim write over there, that it's not only Malchus Yisrael, it's Malchei Umas Olam. Now, Kol Shekein, Agabi Kol Shekein, when we have Malchei Yisrael, for sure, we have to be mispalel for that. What's the definition of the Israeli government doesn't make a difference for our conversation, because the Rishonim are saying, either way, whether I have Malchei Yisrael or Malchei Umas Olam, it doesn't make a difference. A person has to understand how valuable a government is wherever he happens to live. Rabbeinu Yonah even writes the following. Before we get to Rabbeinu Yonah, the Rishonim write that we find this concept already on Sukkot. That on Sukkot we don't only offer karbanos for Klal Yisrael, it says we offer shivim pari achag. Why 70 pari achag? Because we want to offer some sort of offering to HaKadosh Baruch Hu on behalf of all the Umas HaOlam, because to us that's something that's extremely important. We don't just take care of ourselves, we pay attention even to those who are not ourselves. Kal v'chomer when it's ourselves, says the Rabbeinu Yonah as follows. And what about if it's not for Eretz Yisrael? What about if it's not for America? I happen not to live in Africa. I don't care what goes on in Africa, right? I don't even read in the newspapers what goes on in Africa. Let's say I'm that type of person. Zucker Ben Yonah, no. A person has to make himself used to being mispalel for other countries, even if it's not nogeya to him at all, even if it has nothing to do with him, because we understand that even these countries, even the islands far out somewhere that we really don't know much about and we're not really related to, still, Rabbeinu Yonah says, Kachi darkon shel atzadikim v'achasidim. This is the way a person should train himself, because he has to get used to understanding the value of government and the value of authority, and not only in the particular places where he lives, but even places that affect other human beings in the world. That's what the Rishonim say. Now, who was Rav Chanina Skana Kohanim who shared this very important message with us? Who was he? So if you look in the history, Rav Chanina Skana Kohanim, the Gemara tells us, he lived through the Tkufa, the Churban Bayis Sheni, and Rav Chanina Skana Kohanim was living at a time like the Gemara tells us, many of the halachas that he left over were about the Avod and the Beis HaMikdash. He was a person who worked as one of the foremost Kohanim in the Beis HaMikdash. Obviously, he saw in the time of the Churban, the Sinas Chinam, he understood the gravity of what that brings, and therefore over here he tells us that Shalom is a very important thing. If people aren't going to get along, the whole society is not going to work. In fact, the Sifri tells us even more, that Reb Chanina Sganu Kohanim said the following, Gadol HaShalom Sheshakol Keneged Maisa Bereisha. So Reb Chanina Sganu Kohanim, who experienced the destruction of Sinas Chinam, he experienced the destruction of what happens when people cannot get along and cannot have a working society, he understands and he tells us that it's Gadol and it's Shakol Kemaisa Bereisha. It's something that's very, very important. There's an unbelievable insight that I think really sheds light on this whole issue, and that is from Rav Meir Shapiro, the Lublina Rav, the founder of the Daf Yomi. So he points out the following very interesting point. He says that if you look in the Gemara says, what does it mean to be a Skan Kohen? What does it mean? It means you're the assistant Kohen. So what happens? So the Yerushalmi tells us in Yuma, over there the Gemara in Yuma is telling us that basically if something happens to the Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur, so then the Skan Kohen, the assistant takes over, right? Rabbi Feiner goes away for the summer, assistant takes over. But what happens when the real rabbi retires? What happens when the real rabbi or the real Kohen Gadol can no longer serve? He's not interested. So what happens then? So the Yerushalmi says, they don't put up a vote who should be the next Kohen Gadol. Obviously, the one who had the Shemush, we're going to promote him to be the next one. That's what the Yerushalmi tells us. So now we have the following issue. Asks the Lublina Rav, asks Rav Meir Shapiro, how is it possible that he was a Skan HaKohanim? How is it possible that he was an assistant Kohen more than once in his life? Doesn't make sense. You're only an assistant Kohen once, and once the Kohen is no longer able to do the Avodah, so then we should say that you get promoted, you become the Kohen Gadol. So how could it be that Rav Chanina Skan HaKohanim was called a person who was an assistant to more than one Kohen Gadol? How is it possible? Interesting question. Says the Lublina Rav as follows. The Gemara tells us that in the Bayis Sheni, there were a lot of very terrible things going on between the Roman government and the Avodah and the Beis HaMikdash. So the Gemara tells us, whereas in the Bayis Rishon, it used to be that the most chashuv kohen got the job, the most chashuv kohen got the promotion, in the Bayis Sheni, the Roman government was paying off the Kohanim and the Beis HaMikdash to put in whoever they wanted. Problem is, you can pay whoever you want, but Reb Chanina Skan HaKohanim was the most chashuv kohen, you can't ignore him. Okay, so we'll make him the assistant Kohen Gadol, but we're not going to put him in charge. So then, time after time, every time a Kohen Gadol was out of business, was out of commission, so Reb Chanina Skan HaKohanim thinks, here's my chance, finally I'm going to make it. But no, the Roman government squashes him and says, no, you're not going to get the promotion, you're never going to be the Kohen Gadol. So here he is, time and time again, every time there's a turnover in the authority of the Kohuna Gadola, he is never the one who gets it, although he's the most deserving. Yet, although Reb Chanina Skan HaKohanim, says the Lublina Rav, had every reason in the world to hate the Roman government, this is what he's looking forward to his whole life. This is what he deserves more than anybody else. Still, this very Reb Chanina Skan HaKohanim, who has every reason to hate the government, and they were horrible to him, and rightfully so, he has tainas on them. Yet, Reb Chanina Skan HaKohanim himself is the one who tells us, have a mispalel b'shlomo shel malchus. It's an important thing. Although I'm upset about the way they treat me, I understand that without a functioning government, as rotten and as horrible as they are, without a functioning government, everything is going to fall apart. That's just a little bit of insight into what's going on here about the lesson of Reb Chanina Skan HaKohanim, and everyone can take that however they want, but I would assume that the government, whatever's going on now, cannot be worse than what the Roman government was doing in the time of the Churban Bayis Sheni, I would imagine. So that's just something to put all of this sugya into perspective a little bit. And this is obviously leaving out any political consideration. So now back to the pshat in this Mishnah. So the Mishnah says, having mispalel b'shlomo shel malchus, why should a person be mispalel b'shlomo shel malchus shel malei mora ish es reo chayim b'lo? Frek the kashrut or magen in one of his svarim, the Avodas Yisrael, he wants to know, I don't understand, what's the flow of the Mishnah? What's the sequence? Everyone should be mispalel b'shlomo shel malchus. I should be mispalel that there should be shalom, there should be peace. Shel malei mora, because if I don't fear the government, then everyone's going to go wild. Well, that's two separate statements. I should be mispalel for the shalom al malchus, because if the government doesn't get along, then everything's going to fall apart. Why do you say two different, like fragmented? On the one hand, you say we should be mispalel for the shalom of the malchus. On the other hand, we're being mispalel that everyone should have borah ha-malchus. So what's going on here? What are the two fragments of this one statement by Reb Chanina Skan HaKohanim? Zuck the Kushan Tzermaget as follows. He said that this is not to be explained at face value. It doesn't mean b'shlomo shel malchus that we should be mispalel for the shalom, for the peace of the malchus. Rather, he explains the following. He says we should be mispalel for the shlemus of the malchus, for the perfect balance and the perfect duality of what a malchus needs to actually function. And what is that? Imagine the following. Who are the most popular governors? Who are the most popular senators? The ones who come and they're in their, you know, in their light clothing. They don't put on, they don't, you know, live in the ivory tower. They come, they visit when there's a tragedy. They'll visit the almanas. They'll visit the people who got hurt in some sort of national tragedy. They're the ones who are with the people. Everyone loves them. They're giving hugs to everybody, taking pictures, signing autographs. That's the ones who we love most. But what's the challenge with having such a relationship? Imagine if everyone's buddy-buddy with the President of the United States. What would happen? Everyone would do whatever they want. They would say, oh, well, I'm best friends with him. He'll pardon me anyway. There's nothing to worry about. So you can't have a functioning government where everybody's just best friends with the king. Everybody's best friends with the president. It's not going to work. So therefore, he says, we want to be mispalad. On the one hand, we should have that relationship with the malchus. We should have some sort of dialogue. We should have, it shouldn't just be a situation like Russia where no one's allowed to ever ask questions and no one's allowed to ever do anything. We should have that type of relationship with the malchus, that there should be an open dialogue. But at the same time, we have to be mispalad for shel mali mara, if not for the fact that at the same time that we have that relationship, we also need to have some sort of reverence for the malchus as well. That's a part of the functionality of the government. If we don't have these two components, the whole government cannot function. So that's what he says, having mispalad bishlomo shel malchus, we're asking for the shlemus, for the wholesomeness of the malchus. Number one, we need you to have that close connection. But number two, we need to back off a little bit and understand that there are guidelines and there's places where we draw the line and we cannot step forward, we cannot get involved in everything. Just mashallah devadoma, there. In every big city, as we know, there's always a clock tower, right? Every big city has it. Most famous one is England, has the Big Ben. Then you have in every single city the railway stations. Everywhere you always have a big clock tower. So makshama olam, why should it be the following? Why should it be that when I need to know the time, I have to go squinting on my way to work, I'm blinded by the sun, I can't even see what time it is. It's so far up, it's so high up. Why do they do that? Why don't you put the clock right in the middle of Times Square? Why don't you put the clock right in the middle of Wall Street? On my way to work, I'll walk by, I'll see, is my time the right time? I'll change my watch, I'll understand what time it is. What's the pshat? That's the Veltz Kasha on the big clocks, right? On the clock towers. Anyone ever heard this Kasha?
Yeah,
so what do they say? So the Teretz is the following. They say, because imagine if the clock was in the middle of Wall Street. Imagine if the clock was in the middle of Times Square. So the first guy that comes to work at 5 to 9 says, the clock's off. He's going to go twist the clock that it should be with his. 3 minutes later, the next guy comes to work and he says, no, it's the wrong way. So he starts twisting the clock back 5 minutes backwards. And backwards and forwards, after 10 minutes, we don't even know the right time anymore because everyone's draying it to the right, to the left, to the up, to the down. We don't know what time it is anymore. And therefore, the best way to have something function and really keep everyone in check is what? You have it all the way on top. This way, no one's going to tamper with it. No one's playing with it. Everybody who wants to figure out how to run their lives accordingly is going to have to fix their own watches and adjust themselves to that clock up there. So that's the way we have to look at a functionality of an authority as well. That sometimes, if we're going to have too close a relationship, we're just going to drop the authority right in the middle of Times Square. We're going to drop the authority right b'fnei Amba'eda. Everything's going to be a discussion. Everything's going to be a conversation. So on this day, they're going to push him to the right. The next day, they're going to push him to the left. The next day, they're going to convince him this decision's right and that decision's right. But it's not going to be a government that functions with common sense. It's not going to be a government that functions with the decisions that are really proper for the community at large. So therefore, we ask that we have, on the one hand, this close connection, but at the same time, we need to back off and understand the Maro'a Shal Malchus. With this, the Kashan Tzur Magid explains what Rashi says, the Psukim tell us in the middle of the Tochacha, V'Salachti B'Sochachem, the Pasuk says, I will walk with you, with Klal Yisrael, V'Yisi Lachem Lelokim. Zak Rashi, what does it mean? Atayel imachem began Eden. Rashi says, V'salachti b'socha means we're going to have a great time. Everyone's going to go on a nice shbatzir with the Rabbanu Shalom. We're going to have a great time in Gan Eden. However, ke'echem mikem velotiyum ezdazem imena. Rashi says, you're not going to be afraid of me. Everyone's going to go for a walk. Everyone's going to have a great time with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. However, Zak Rashi, yachol lotirim imeni. You might think that at the same time that you're having a nice time being buddy-buddy with the Rabbanu Shalom, you might think you're not going to have Yerushamayim. No, Zak tepasik v'yisi lachem lelokim. I'm still going to be the Rabbanu Shalom. Yes, we're going to have a nice time in Gan Eden. Yes, everyone's going to be together. I'm going to be like one of you. You're not going to faint. But, V'yisi lachem lelokim. Zak tekashen tzur magid, it's the same dual relationship. At some point, we're going to have that relationship of kurva, of Abba to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, of Dveikus. But at the same time, we're going to understand the value of needing to back off and needing to still have Yiras Shamayim. So this is, in fact, this is the Rav Chanina Skana Kohanim who teaches us over here that we need to have that duality. Why Rav Chanina Skana Kohanim? Because he was the one, this is the Kashrut Tzur Magid doesn't say, but I think if you look in Rav Chanina Skana Kohanim's life, you understand what's going on here. He was the one who's living his whole life with Dveikus, with Ava, he's living in the Beis HaMikdash, he's the one who's doing Avodah all the time. He's teaching us how to become close to the Rabbanu Shalom. Yet at the same time, one of the most important halachas that Reb Chanina Sgan HaKohanim transmits to the next generation is the following. The Mishnah tells us in Shkalim, Chanina Sgan HaKohanim is the one who told us, Kama hishtachavayos tzarech adam lishtachavas bebeis hamigdash. At the same time, the Reb Chanina Sgan HaKohanim is the one who's getting himself close. He has that relationship. He's the one, he's the Sgan HaKohanim. He's the one who feels that kuva, that dveikus, that ava. He's the one who understands more than anybody else, Kama hishtachavayos tzarech adam lishtachavas bebeis hamigdash. Person has to do it with kavod rosh. He has to understand that, yes, you're fortunate enough to have that relationship. You're fortunate enough to understand that you became close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but at the same time, you have to bow on your way out. You have to understand the boundaries. You have to understand the guidelines. And you have to abide by them. Just want to finish off with one beautiful story. Someone, a friend of mine, Moshe Tzvi Weinberg, told me the following great story. He said that Reb Shimshon Pinkus, they quoted one of his svarim, that one Purim, he dressed up as a big polar bear. And his young six-year-old son was petrified. He walked into the room and he's crying. And he says, Mommy, save me. There's a bear in the room. The kid is petrified. So he's crying, he's screaming, they couldn't calm him down. So she says, no, you don't understand, that's Tati's. He says, no, it's a bear. It's, what do you mean? He's like so thrown off, he doesn't understand what's going on. Finally, the mother calms him down and she convinces him, I'm telling you, it's Tati, he's just dressed up, it's Purim today, dressed up as a bear. So the kid runs over to the father and he grabs his leg and he says, Tati, save me, there's a bear in the room. Mother de Gemaisa. So Shimshon Pinkus said, now I understand what it means, Avinu Malkeinu. At some times in our lives, we look at the Ribbono Shel Olam and we say, he's the big 1,000-pound bear in the room. We're petrified. Malkeinu, we can't understand. How are we going to have any kurva? What are we going to do? How are we going to get past this el? How are we going to get past this av? How are we going to get through the tsars? What's going to be? But at the same time, we grab onto the bear and we say, Avinu, Tati, save me. There's a bear in the room. We grab onto him and we say, yes, we understand that there are these two components which at the same time need to come out in our relationship. Yes, we can't just have kula ava, that's not going to work. And we can't have kula yira, that's also not going to work. We have to understand that Ribbono Shel Olam expects from us both of these attitudes. On the one hand, we need to have the ava, on the other hand, we need to have the yira. And that is what we're told over here as well, that is the shlemus of the malchus that we are all mispala for when we are told by Rabbi Chanina Sgan HaKohanim, have a mispala b'shlomo shel malchus. I wish everyone a wonderful evening.